Yesterday, I talked about some tragic bird deaths at my windows this spring. We had already put bird tape on our worst window. Despite that, a pine siskin and a Blackburnian warbler were killed at it, and a Canada warbler was killed at the tiniest window on our entire house. We had a huge warbler migration fallout in Duluth this spring, so the death toll was much larger than many years. But then again, last fall we had a similar fallout and several birds struck my windows then. Most survived, but research indicates that about 50% of the birds that fly off end up dying later from various internal injuries, especially subdural hematomas. One woman found a bunch of dead birds under the windows at the new Duluth airport, and there were also a bunch of carcasses documented under some of the huge windows at one of the Essentia Health's buildings. Some grad students at UMD were trying to gather information about window strikes in Duluth, but we've never had any kind of long-term study to see just how many birds are killed at our windows. Historically, one of the species known to be killed in disproportionately large numbers everywhere is the evening grosbeak, which has now dwindled and even disappeared from much of its range in eastern North America. There are several factors that contributed to the species loss, including short rotation cycles to manage northern forests for wood fiber rather than hardwoods. One major component of the evening grosbeak diet is maple and especially box elder seeds. Controlling spruce budworm has also contributed because evening grosbeaks depend on finding a lot of spruce budworm larvae during the time they're feeding their young. Because their winter diet is primarily seeds, they also need grit, and large numbers can be killed in car collisions on roads where gritty sand is spread. But window mortality has almost certainly been a major contributing factor. Dr. Daniel Clem of Muhlenberg College has spent his career documenting the carnage and studying how and why birds don't see glass. For decades, he was virtually the only scientist looking at the issue. Ironically, some of his papers were rejected from major journals for no reason except that he cited so many of his own papers in them, entirely because there were no other papers out there to refer to. Dan has devoted a lot of time and attention to ways we can prevent window kills. We need a two-pronged approach, helping homeowners like me to make our already built windows safer, but also to encourage architects and builders to make new construction safer. I'm posting a bunch of ways we can make the windows in our own home safer on my blog. As I discovered, these aren't 100% effective, but do reduce the carnage. But we must also find ways to get people to do the right thing as far as new construction. I'm horrified that the Minnesota Vikings and the commission Governor Dayton named to design the new stadium completely blew off the issue, despite the fact that the stadium is located in the center of an area famous for its heavy bird migration. The company manufacturing the dangerous glass is also one of the companies that manufacture a fritted glass that is very effective at reducing collisions. And that particular glass is also far, far more energy efficient than the bird-killing glass they're using. I simply do not know how to get more attention focused on this issue. In Duluth, we've had plenty of new construction of huge apartment buildings and hotels, and are going to be having a major new project directly under Hawk Ridge Bird Observatory, but no one in the city is taking the issue seriously, and those of us who do understand what a serious problem it is feel helpless to change things. Feeling helpless makes us all want to just close our eyes and think about happier things. So next time I will talk about something happier, one red-eyed vireo that hit my window in May, who survived and is doing just fine today. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.